You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase. The NBA draft lottery is tonight.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin. I didn't know that. So
I was
one sports that's, fanhood.
I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my question. Did you even know it was happening? Nope. And you don't. I don't know who the first pick is. There might not be a lot of drama. I don't know.
It's Cade Cunningham, I'd imagine, from Oklahoma State.
That's oh, we should ask our buddy Nick. We have a friend who's like an Oklahoma State super fan. I'm sure he's going to be blowing up our group chat later with that. To me, that's not even the most interesting basketball story, though, of today. Locked On Sabres podcast. We've got a Jack Eichel trade analysis with the Minnesota Wild coming your way today. That's actually going to be in the front portion of today's show because we got a little fun, silly segment in the back half. Top five Disney songs. Billy Joel is going to be playing in Buffalo in August. That is good. That's going to be happening. And I had a pretty warm take, hot take, that his best song is Why Should I Worry, which is from the movie Oliver and Company. And Jordan was right there hopping on the bandwagon like, yes, this is right.
It's such a good song. A good song.
So that kind of led
that a lot of people have seen, at least our age, because it came out in 88.
Yeah. It's not like one of the pinnacle, franchise Disney movies, like the ones that came out like a long time ago, like the 30s, 40s, 50s, like Snow White. And not Little Mermaid. That's more recent. What am I thinking? Beauty and the Beast is another one.
It's in the same mold, right? It's unoriginal because it's based off of Oliver Twist. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like Disney doesn't Disney rarely makes their own content.
they steal it.
Yeah, they steal it. I mean, Lion King is Hamlet. Like, it's just like they, all their stuff is like, they's like, oh, we got different names and we're gonna make it more friendly to kids because Hamlet is the opposite of that.
Right. So. Bunch of thieves over there. Yeah. So that's coming your way. The other basketball thing I wanted to ask if you had seen today, did you see the Harlem Globetrotters thing?
No.
Okay, you're going to love this. The Harlem Globetrotters, their executive vice president and general manager, I don't have his name in front of me, but he sent a letter to the NBA and more specifically NBA commissioner Adam Silver saying that he had heard or something to the effect of he knows the NBA is interested in adding expansion teams and that he wants the Harlem Globetrotters to get serious consideration to be an NBA expansion franchise because of all they have done for the sport of basketball in the last 50 years, giving guys opportunities and whatnot. So the Globetrotters want to be an NBA team now, it sounds like.
I can't imagine the Knicks would like that.
Or the Nets, either.
Or the Nets. Nets can't even get a fan, great fan base anyway.
I think the Globetrotters would get a bigger fan base immediately than the Nets, though, wouldn't they?
Do they just get the Globetrotters players?
No, they would have to get real NBA players, wouldn't they? they're not going to be doing their tricks out there. They would still be real players, I think, or real game. I just want to throw that in there because I saw that today and I thought that was really funny that the Globetrotters. I would become a Globetrotters fan. I'd be rooting for them. Players would probably think it's a joke, though. Like, who would ever go there?
They'd instantly have one of the best uniforms.
Oh, like right? The gold lettering and like the USA look. That's right? So cheap. It's so cheap looking though. They couldn't do the exact same thing.
Oh, it would be a crime if they didn't.
Okay. So that's funny.
If you're gonna be the Globetrotters, you gotta be full Globetrotters.
Yeah. Well, it probably won't happen anyway because these franchises are generally in other sports paying like $2 billion expansion fees. I don't know. How's business over at the Globetrotters? Do we think they have $2 billion laying around to get into the NBA?
That I doubt.
Yeah. It can't be a thriving business, the celebrity trickster basketball in this COVID times. I'm imagining. So it's probably hit them pretty hard. But anyways, just thought that was funny. So let's get to the Sabres and let's get to what we've got today on Jack Eichel. No news really to talk about on the coach front or on the Eichel front. Reinhardt, Ristolainen. I guess we do have one bit of news on your boy JJ Paterka, second round pick of the Sabres from last season. His you're gonna have to help me with the city name. Red Bull Munchen?
Munich.
No, Munchen.
It's the German word for.
Oh. Munich. Really? I thought that was a completely different city. No. Okay, thank you. Good thing you're here. So Red Bull Munich announced today that basically wrote a farewell to Paterka on their website and on their Twitter account, saying that he's going to chase his dream of making the Buffalo Sabres, of playing in the NHL. He has signed his entry-level contract, so he is either going to be in Rochester or, much less likely, Buffalo this upcoming season. So that'll be... Listen, Rochester's kind of been filled with a lot of like AHL veteran type guys. Like JJS Day is like a guy that comes to mind. Like just Cole Schneider, like just a bunch of 25-year-old guys that I'm never really hoping are going to become anything. And now, like, if this season Paterka's down playing for the Amerks, that'll get me to be interested in the Amerks, because literally, doesn't it sound like there's nothing a guy could do more after being a second round pick in like the course of 12 months? Like, it sounds like it's going as well as it possibly could for him.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him. I also want to say that I was impressed with your German. I should have given you more credit. Saying Munchen was very good.
Munchen?
That's
thank
very
you.
Good German.
I did follow it up with Munchen to kind of ruin it right
Munchen's
after.
Munchen's wrong. Yeah, Munchen's wrong. Munchen, your gut instinct was correct. But yeah, I think the other thing too is all I've heard is positives. Every time I saw like tweets from Chris Baker, you know, all the stuff that you could take in from JJ Paterka, it's all been very positive with him. Every time, I think when he played with Stutzel in the World Juniors, he looked great. On a team that, you know, Germany is very little depth. They looked, he looked good. He looked pretty confident. He scored against teams that were better than him. He scored against the guys that are comparable to him. So, yeah, I think it's all positive for him thus far.
Just throw up as many prospects on that shelf that I could just be hopeful for. You know, like, they don't have to work out, but like, how many guys can I be like, all right, like maybe this guy, Paterka, maybe. Like, I don't know how many people are on that list. Jack Quinn is on that list right now, but there's not many names. So good thing that Paterka has kind of joined that list, because you just need more bodies on the hopeful prospect pool that
you want to
maybe
get back
one day.
To, you want to get back to early Tim Murray level,
yes.
Right? Where it's just like we just have this pile of players where it's just like, oh, yeah. This guy could be good. It turned out that a lot of them weren't, but. I mean, a
couple of them were, but they were good for other teams.
Right. I mean, a couple of them, you see them in the playoffs. It's the annual tradition now of, oh, there's Joel Armia.
There's
Will Carrier. There's Ben McNabb. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, there's JT Compher. He's pretty good.
Right.
I guess we nailed that pick.
The annual tradition.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah. All right. So just a little news item there for you. Let's get into the Minnesota Wild as a Jack Eichel trade partner. They're pretty popular, comparable or team that's connected just because of their motivation. The Wild sound like a team that are in on this, that are making offers, but probably the reason they are not considered a front runner is they lack really the high draft pick. That's really where they're lacking the most. Whereas the Ducks are at 3, the Blue Jackets are at 5, the Kings are at 8. Hell, even the Rangers are at 16 is better than where Minnesota is slotted down at 22. They do have a second first round pick at 25. So they have two picks in the mid 20s. So they've got a couple of picks that would be interesting, but later first round picks, I might even prefer a pick next year from them. So the draft pick is not really where you're getting your value, but it sounds like the two guys that they would be dangling in front of the Sabres is one Matthew Boldy, who was NHL ready, first round pick of theirs a couple of years ago. And I think by the sounds of the way his development has gone, he would be a pretty valuable player that would compare more so, not to Zegras level, I don't think, not to even Drysdale level, but maybe just one notch below that. By the way, Boldy is a left winger. He's a winger. 20 years old. He played in the AHL last year, over a point a game, 18 points in 14 games. And then the other big name prospect they've got is Marco Rossi, who you might remember as the guy all of Sabres Twitter wanted the Sabres to draft last year over Jack Quinn. He did not play the season due to a heart condition that stemmed from his getting COVID, although it seems though as though he's past that. So just on the surface, before I get into the more interesting part of Minnesota, I'm going to throw your way in a second. Doesn't it sound like to you on the surface, they just don't have the horses to run with Columbus and Anaheim?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, their best young player is probably one of the most untouchable players in the league right now. So it's not like you're going to be able to get anything with Kaprizov in it. So,
yeah. Let me throw this by you because he's really the name I want to talk about the most. But just real quick before we get into him. Before we get to Kaprizov, if Minnesota came at you with their two best prospects, Rossi, Boldy, and their two picks in the 20s, you're saying no, right? Because I'm definitely saying no.
Yeah. Especially with Rossi having the unfortunate health issues.
Right. They're like, you never know, I guess. Like COVID, we still don't really know. So the reason I don't want to throw Kaprizov out the window is, I don't know if you saw it, it didn't get as much news as I thought it was going to when it was reported, I think on Friday, but we had a report. Oh, now it's not pulling up for me. I had it and now it's gone. Hold on. Cause I want to get the reporter right. Come on. Where is it?
While you're loading that up, trivia, do you know who Minnesota Wild's captain is?
Oh man. I think I do actually. Isn't it? Oh, damn it. Who is their captain? Oh, Jared Spurgeon, right?
It is Jared Spurgeon.
Jared Spurgeon. We'll have to do some.
You can't get NHL trivia past Joe.
No, I'm very nerdy when it comes to that. My buddy the other day thought it was ridiculous that I just knew instantaneously like numbers of Sabre players that played like 10 years ago. Like he's like, what number is Paul Shahuro? I'm like 58. Like I just knew it. Top of my head. Tyson Seracken, 24. Like Zenon Konopka, 24. Like I nail those. Like it's weird. It's weird. I wish I could use that part of my brain.
Is it weird that Spurgeon's their captain?
I guess it's a little bit weird because he's not really like a franchise level player, and he's also not like this older veteran type. He's a good player. Okay, I found it. It's Kevin Weeks actually. Kevin Weeks reported on Friday. Quote, as of now, talks with likely rookie of the year Kaprizov and the Minnesota Wild have gone cold. My understanding is he is in Moscow, and it's believed CSKA Moscow is interested in signing him for the KHL and the Olympics. So basically, this is probably a negotiating tactic, but Kaprizov, from the sounds of it, I saw Michael Russo talking about this as well. He believes he is a $9 to $10 million player in the league, even after just one season. And the Wild, so far, aren't biting. They're not biting on that. So it's basically Minnesota, maybe they'd be willing to do this because they're not happy with where they are contractually in negotiations with Kirill Kaprizov. And this is a guy that, I mean, if he's in Moscow and his first move when he's in a contract negotiation with the Wild is I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back and play for the KHL. That sounds like a guy to me that very easily any year, any day could go back to Russia, similar to what Alex Radulov did with the Nashville Predators about 10 years ago. He was a dynamite young player in the league. He played 1-2 years for Nashville. He's like, I'm just going to go back. And he was gone for 8 years. So basically, this would be the Wild punting on the incoming contract negotiation and punting on any threat that he could ever leave and go back home for Jack Eichel. The Sabres would be assuming that risk with Kaprizov, but you'd be getting a young player that is going to win the rookie of the year, 51 points in 55 games. After McDavid, he was one of the most fun players to watch in the league for me last year. He is awesome as a skater, as a dynamic offensive player. I'm intrigued by the idea. I'm not sure Minnesota would be doing this, but I think there's enough logic behind it that we can at least talk about it and whether or not we would do it. Like, because if it costs $10 million to sign Kaprizov, even then, I think I'm still considering it, even though I've only got 55 games of sample size.
Yeah, it's a fascinating twist. I get very nervous dealing with like guys that are like male contenders, just with the Sabres, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't have the, you hear it all the time, like the culture stinks or whatever. Like we don't have the, I don't know if we have I don't think the morale of the team is very enticing to a guy like Kirill Kaprizov if he has other options. But I also think if Kaprizov wants to be considered one of the best players in the world, Russia is not the place to go. Just is never that. It's only money is the incentive there.
Right. So I guess you got to wonder what his motivation is.
And if that's the case, is that the type of player you want?
Right. I mean, he's...
He's so good.
Right. Like it's, if he scores, if he's Kovalchuk for me, and like, I've always got to, I know that he's probably only here for the money, but he's putting up 100 points. Like, do I care? Do I care why he's putting up 100 points? Like what's driving him to do that? I mean, I guess I do to some extent. It's risky. It's a risky idea. It's one that I would explore though with the Wild because it's a player that is that good. But you're right to raise the concern of like, man, other teams maybe could get away with it. If you're the Rangers, maybe you can get away with it. The Bruins, like these teams that you know are going to be good. Whereas like if he's just pissed because the Sabres are so bad, like he doesn't have to go through the route Eichel's going through right now because he's like, I'm fine going home. And then where are you? Then you're nowhere. And that's a terrible place to be. So Minnesota's going through it right now. Again, I think that's probably just a negotiating tactic that he's in Moscow and you're seeing reports that he's talking with a KHL team that he's played with the past couple of years before he got to Minnesota. It took him a while to come over here in the first place. That's got to be a concern. I mean, he just played his rookie season at 24 years old. That guy could have played in the league 3 years ago. And the Wild have been trying to get him over for a few years. And like finally they get him over and now they're going through all this. And you would be taking on kind of another, maybe taking on another headache if you were the Sabres. But in exchange, you'd be getting, again, a player that, for Eichel, we're not talking about, this is Zegras, but with the, like, he's already achieved the ceiling, you know? Like, if they were to trade for Zegras, we'd be hoping he's as good as Kaprizov. Kaprizov's already done it, and we've seen it. I know it's only for one season, but he did do it. So just an idea that I thought I'd throw out there because that's the only way I see a trade with the Wild working because I don't think they have enough otherwise to get it done. All right, we'll take a timeout here in the Locked On Sabres podcast. When we come back, our top five Disney songs. That's right after this on the Locked On Sabres podcast. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Saber games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase. No Jordan Hanskin for this portion of the podcast, and I know that we teased a silly segment with me and Jordan's top five Disney songs of all time. That audio exists, and we will get it to you at some point in the coming days, but it did not seem appropriate as we recorded, 6:30-ish? On Tuesday evening, and we found out at about 7:30 the passing of Sabres legend Rene Robert at the age of 72 from a massive heart attack at his home in Florida. So it didn't feel right, you know, to have Sabre fans tuning in on Thursday night or you're driving to work on Wednesday morning expecting to hear anything about Robert, and then we're just sitting there talking about Hi-Ho in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Didn't feel appropriate, so we scrap that for now. We'll throw it into a later episode, but yeah, Robert passes away at the age of 72 years old. We maybe knew this was coming, massive heart attack, and we found that out on late Friday that had happened at his home in Florida. So he passes away, and it's a tough situation for me as a host, given that I didn't see him play and that I didn't really have a lot of run-ins with him. But I can tell you that I did meet him twice on two different occasions, once as a kid outside of the arena, and man, he was just like the coolest guy ever. Like, he was super nice about it. Like, even joked around with me, like you're too young to know who I am. Very, very cheerful when I ran into him that first time. The second time was at more one of those more like organized like autograph sessions. Same thing. Like, he was chatting while you're in line. He's chatting up with the fans. Seemed like a really cool guy, and he's one of those guys that you feel like you wish you would have gotten to know more over time. And of course, one of those guys that you wish you would have been able to see play. Just hearing my dad talk about him as a player, my grandpa, Paul Hamilton at WGR talking about him as a player. I mean, you really feel like you missed out if you missed the French Connection and you missed the Sabres in the 70s. Because to this point, they haven't had sustained success like that since. And it was driven by those three guys up top, Perreault, Martin, and Robert. He was one third of that French Connection. He deserved all the accolades that he got as a, like, he's in Sabres lore. He's a legend. His number is in the rafters. Like, he had 100 points. Like, he's got records. He is one of the most important figures in Sabres history. So his passing is incredibly sad. It sucks. And best wishes to the Robert family. The Sabres have put out a couple of statements that you can go read on social media or on their website. Terry Pegula making a statement about him. It's just crappy news, just super crappy news. So that's going to do it for us today on the podcast. I think we'll try to explore getting a guest on to talk more about Rene that can go more into him as a person and what he was like as a player. We'll see. I'm gonna reach out maybe and see if we can get a former player on that played with him, but we'll let you know. Thanks everybody for listening though today to the podcast. Again, that silly segment, the Disney songs. If you really were, is anyone out there that really was like waiting around for that? If you were, it's coming in a future episode. So again, RIP Rene Robert, age 72 years old. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.